And hello, welcome again to Zav Chat. A very special day today. We're bringing in a special guest from Sydney Town. But first of all, Wilbur, top of the morn.
Morning, Hills. Hope you had a good weekend.
It was a fantastic weekend, and I bumped into you, which was made it even better. And Bill, top of the morn.
G'day, Shane. Nice to be back. So, it's another great week. Quite a week here. We've got kids focused on exams.
And it's nice to hear you say nice to be back, because you were not real well a week ago, but you've bounced back.
A little under the weather, but can't keep a good man down. So here I am, as they say.
So we're weaving our way back into that whole boys' education theme today. This is almost like a third chapter of a trilogy, but it's going to be a really interesting one. So we've got Michael Eilert with us, and then a special guest over here.
Yeah, so wonderful to have Michael, our Director of Senior School. Welcome,
good
Michael.
Good to see you, Michael.
Thanks for having me back.
Always good, a healthy round of applause. But we'd love to continue this theme of how we go about educating boys and what some of those dimensions are. In our context, as a boys' school, the development of values and of character is something that we've spoken a fair bit about, and I know you're really passionate about. So maybe just a quick opening, reflection from you.
It's a Thursday here at the school, so tonight everyone's going to be at home on Sursum Quarter, and I've put some words in there today around our examinations, and examinations being celebrations of learning, not about necessarily just about times of pressure. And I guess I think that particularly over the last decade, the idea of having to look at more explicit teaching of values and of character for young people, both women and men, both young women and both young men, and in our context for boys, is becoming more and more important, particularly as society changes in so many ways.
So lovely, maybe too. We've got a special guest, David. I'll let you introduce Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. So our guest today is David Idstein. David is the Director of Character Formation at the King's School in Sydney, which is one of the largest schools in Sydney, also amongst the largest boarding schools in Australia and around the world. And David's also one of the founding members of the Australian Character Education Alliance. And at the moment he's just beginning his PhD looking at character education and values education, and looking at how can we go about developing rubrics and ways for us to be able to look at measuring values and measuring character as an impetus for growth, not as judgment. So that's Dave's context and how he joins us.
So welcome in, David. Great having you with us. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us. It's very exciting. I look forward to contributing to the discussion.
It's brilliant. Hey, why don't you? I was really intrigued by some of the study and the precision that you're starting to think about in terms of character formation. You're about to embark on a PhD, as I understand it, and maybe just as a way of introducing it, tell us a little bit about what's led you there and what you're thinking about in your field of study.
Yeah, I think Michael talked about that explicit teaching of values, and I think it made me realise realize that sometimes you've got to define something before you can actually explore it further. And I think it's really important we stop and we talk about character a lot and what it means to be a good person, a good young man or a good young woman, as Michael just said. But do we know what that is? And it can vary in different contexts. So it made me start to think, well, it's important we stop and say, what is character? What are the elements of it? And that's how it's led me into think about a PhD. And my analogy at the moment is I've got the foot in the door. The door was sort of shutting on me in Sydney Uni, and I managed to get the foot in and keep it open, and I've started the PhD journey.
Fantastic. We often say you can only expect what you inspect, and Michael was reflecting then on that, on that element of giving some definition, but even a rubric and things. So you've obviously got things in your mind there about actually how we do measure going beyond then the definition of character and of values.
Well, I think it's even important to stop, and whether it's as a society or schools or systems, to stop and think, well, what do we want to measure this? And I think why are we measuring it? And if we are going to measure it, we need to be intentional about why we measure it and why we report on it and what we communicate. And then actually start to add some clarity to it, like you're saying, Bill.
I think that that's really important too. When there can be a big variance in, we would all be able to sit here and talk about what are the values that we think are important in young people. Not to give too much of a tip away, but when I interview people for roles at Xavier College, I ask them, what does a good 25-year-old man look like in Victoria in 2025? And I listen. And then the next question is, when the 14-year-old version of that 25-year-old man gets it really wrong in your classroom, what advice are you going to give me to support them? And I hear very similar things, and at the moment, particularly around kindness and around resilience. And I think that at the moment, those particular areas, not so much kindness, but resilience is one in particular. Inclusiveness is another, where the definition of it for so many people can be so broad. And what I think it means and what I think it looks like could be way different to, say, what you think heals. And it's understandable and okay that we differ, but I think this idea of measurement allows us to have not a base, but a definition, as Dave has said, to help the kids actually grow and to help the students actually say, this is what this can look like.
So, David, as you do this PhD, are you looking to bring this measurement into action, or is there already a basis and is measurement already occurring?
There is some different metrics happening out there. I'm proposing to come at it from a different angle, and there's this idea about values, education, explicit values. My personal opinion at the moment is it's possibly a little bit dangerous to start judging people on their integrity or their honesty. And so there's a bit of work being done on actually a relational aspect to this. And I like this idea that a person of good character is one that drives and has a purposeful intent for a flourishing society. And so if you think about it, you could have someone that's very honest and has integrity, but they're living a very quiet life and they're actually not engaging with the world around them. And, you know, especially that Jesuit, and I was brought up in a Marist environment. It's about actually service, and it's about being out, making a positive contribution to people around you and making them better and making their life better. And so I think it's actually not necessarily about values. Values are the execution and the detail, but it's actually about how I relate then to people around me, how I relate to my context, how I relate to myself, and there's a bit of self-regulation in there. Yeah. There has been some work done on it. I'm hoping to bring a bit of a unique approach to it. And in fact, there's a term talking about coaction of relationships with others and coactional relationships with the context. So how do I improve my environment, my context, but how does that context and environment have an impact, a positive impact on me?
Wilbur? I'm just finding this quite outstanding. I've never really thought of character assessment or character measures. I've always sort of thought a judgment on someone's character is such a interpersonal thing and a personal thing. And it's really interesting to think that a rubric or something could be used to sort of explicitly measure someone's character. And you speak about sort of the dangers and the nuance is a part of that. I was just wondering sort of what contexts, we're speaking a lot about context in this early part of the discussion. Practically, how would you sort of use that measure of character to help build sort of a culture within a school context? You're working at the King's School now. So in what practical ways is this really innovative thing that you're working on going to be able to improve the culture at the King's?
Yeah, and I think I think that speaks to where we started, and I said we need to be careful about why we're doing it and what we're going to do with it. And I've gone down this track of looking at, and as a school, we're saying, well, there's formative assessment, and what's assessment about, and what's formative assessment compared to summative assessment? And so summative assessment obviously happens at the end of the year, for example, and we don't want to send our students away with a grade on their character at the end of the year and send them on their holidays. It's actually a formative thing. And it helps that dialogue to have between, say, a student and his mentor or her mentor and teacher and coach and parent. So I think that's probably where it's going, more of this idea about a formative discussion starter and where is it that a student is sitting on their journey and what are the activities and mentoring that could help them on their way forward.
I think a big part of it, Dave, and this is something we've spoken about and certainly part of your research is around, you actually said a big piece of this conversation is what is character and what are values? And it's around this idea of a shared definition. And so working with boys or working with girls, working with young people to say, let's sit together and look at what are the values in this classroom or what are the values in our team or in your context, Wilbur, as a prefect group. How do we create a shared understanding of what's important in this particular context? Because if you're a part of that process and part of the agreement of what the values are, then absolutely, as a young person, you're way more likely than to engage and own and respectfully be accountable for them, because you've had shared agency in the development of the values or the development of the goals that we're trying to implement.
So can I bring it to a Xavier and King's School scenario with all our varied parents listening? I think they'd be really interested to hear David at the King's School, a great school in Sydney Town, and Xavier here, obviously. How's that play out almost on a daily basis in your lived world?
I think it plays out very much in the classroom every day. I interestingly started with a new class yesterday with some Year 12 boys and had a conversation with them. And it was interesting. We had been given a room change, and so it wasn't their normal classroom, and it probably wasn't an ideal classroom for Year 12. It was based on the fact that their room was being used for the exams.
For exams, yeah.
Yeah, and we probably spent most of the lesson talking about what are the shared goals of the classroom. And so I started with the idea of what is it that they're trying to achieve, and I had some ideas in my mind, and I had some feedback from a teacher that had left the information for me. But then we moved the conversation around what are some of the shared norms that you think are going to be important so that you can achieve the goals that you need. And so I hope this comes across the right way. It wasn't about what I wanted for the class,
yeah,
or what I think was necessary in terms of managing the class, but it was for the boys to actually develop an idea of, particularly given they've only got a term and a bit to go in the year, what this needs to look like for them in terms of how they're going to work together for an ultimate goal. And part of that manifests then into shared values through the development of the kids' character. I see it down in sport, and I know that you made a comment about, you know, the first 15 rugby might be a little bit top-heavy at the moment with coaching. But it's been interesting to watch the people, and I have been an observer into that group this year, to look at how much conversation is about how they work together, and at the moment as much almost as what they actually do from a technical skills perspective. And particularly, and maybe it's oversharing, but our coach went on parental leave, and so Bill came in as a coach for a period of time. So particularly when you're picking up a group that you're trying to build relationships with, yeah, that idea of what are the values and characteristics of the group is as important as can you pass the ball and how fast can you pass it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And in fact, we're doing a Zav chat on coaching and perspectives literally next week. That's brilliant timing, Michael. David, same question, and I'll just add something at the end as well, and Michael will have an opinion here as well. How far down the age spectrum can this realistically occur? Michael talked about a Year 12 class, but could that be a Year 8 class or even in primary school? But the broad question first about life at King's.
Yeah, so the way we talk about character here at King's, about being able to make decisions, and a person of character is someone that can lead themselves and lead others. And fundamentally, it's about making decisions under pressure. So we try to go about creating opportunities for our boys to be under pressure and to make decisions, and then potentially to be successful and have failures in that space. So it might be cadets and they get lost. Under pressure, they've made a poor decision, they've gotten lost. They reflect on that and they learn and they grow in their character and their leadership ability. So that's the sort of context, the way we throw around it, the character here at King's and in that co-curricular space. Your question before about the sports context and possibly classroom made me think about, there's a famous basketball coach, John Wooden, who was an NCAA, one of the most successful college basketball coaches, and he never spoke about winning. He spoke about the characteristics and values, and he very much saw that as a process to an outcome. And I think in today's society where there's a risk of winning at all costs, and I think it's our roles to actually help young men and young ladies understand healthy masculinity, what a healthy masculine looks like, especially in that cadet rugby environment where it can be. And AFL is the same. It's a brutal combat sport. And we need to help them understand that their shared values that Michael just spoke about are our goal. So how do we carry ourselves respectfully on the rugby field? I coach the 16As, which is the equivalent of the Year 10 rugby and AFL in Melbourne. And my goals throughout the week are those respect, it's teamwork, it's energy. And that's the values they've come up with. And like Michael spoke about, they own that. And John Wooden's whole thing was, if you have goals that are shared and processes, the outcome take care of itself, and we don't have to talk about winning. And we move away from that toxic desire to be winning at all costs and a bit of a win mentality.
Can I just add something to that, Hills, quickly, that I think that when I listen to Dave talk about that, the word that comes into my mind as his job isn't as the coach or isn't as the teacher right this moment. It's that idea of being the facilitator. And Wilbur brought up the notion of context. And context is everything in our context as a Jesuit school and meeting young people where they're at. And I often say that sometimes young people don't want you to come to where they're at, but it's part of the challenge and part of the great honour that we have as teachers in Jesuit schools. But the student will have the context. There will be a manifestation of that context, but as the teacher, I will always have a high level of control over what that looks like. And so I think there's a, and if you read the Melbourne Age, even this week, they're talking about student engagement and what that looks like in schools. And absolutely there's been a change, and particularly there's been a change since COVID. But the idea of talking about that in a context of students at school are naughty is one thing and an argument. Not one that I certainly support, but the idea of saying that I am the individual that has the ability to impact how the context of that person will then manifest is what the game is all about. And my classroom will be a place that will be a response to how I have engaged the students in learning. Now, that's really difficult, and it's really difficult 2 weeks before the end of the term when you're in the middle of exams. I can see Trappy, our producer, smiling and nodding and laughing as well. But I think ultimately, as educators, it's a really important thing for us to know.
And do you and David both agree that this can roll down from a year 12, year 10 level all the way further down?
Absolutely. Okay. I think so, yeah.
David?
Dave?
Yeah, and Shane, I actually didn't answer part of your question there. And you talked about what does it look like for different year groups and different ages. Yeah. And I think that's up to the, like Mike was talking about, that's up to the professional judgment to have some sort of grading and differentiation in there. So as a year 7 student, they might not have full ownership over what the values and objectives are for their context, whether it's the classroom or their sports team or their camp environment. But there might be a little bit of agency there. That might have a little bit of impact. And then, as Wilbur, I'm sure, can allude to, he wants to have more input into his environments now. So what does his rugby team and or his cricket team look like? Sorry, what sports do you play, Wilbur?
AFL, David, yeah.
AFL. So,
good answer, Wilbur.
I'm sure as a year 7 student, Wilbur probably didn't have the maturity and character to have full impact over his environment in that AFL team. But now in year 11, year 12, he wants to own that. And it's important for him to own that because next year when he goes off and goes into the workplace or to uni, he needs to have that rehearsed experience of creating that environment for him and his peers.
Wilbur, your first prefect meeting this year or at the end of last year was about the values of the leadership team. I was in the room and that was how you kicked off your agenda, first bounced your agenda in relation to the team that you lead. Can you maybe spend 30 seconds on that? What were the values that you came up with the group?
Yeah, so the activity we did, we had sort of a blank canvas and I sat the boys down. Actually, I had post-it notes on the bottom of their chairs before I got there early and put the post-it notes on the bottom of their chairs. And then I was like, boys, grab the post-it note and just write down a value that you'd like our group to be for the rest of the year. And then the resounding sort of result of that was just one of unity and like a diverse sort of group. And we've got 41 boys and it's just such a diverse group and we have to cater for a diverse amount of people within the school. There's 1,000 students here at the college. So it works really well. And just being part of a team, like a prefect group is a team. I might have 3 sacks in a week and then Ollie Stewart, my vice captain, might have 2 weeks off. So then having that value of being able to offload a little bit of work to each other is one that we really are aspired to do as well. And it's worked out great in that sense. And I think getting there at the start of the year and doing that post-it note activity, although it's a simple thing, is one of these things that David is like obviously done so much work on and is now studying a PhD on. And it's these simple things that can create shared values within a team and within a community. So yeah,
it's brilliant. I'm struck with the the art of the coach, the art of the teacher or educator, as we might say, and in that is the ability to host a conversation. and we spoke a bit about here about hosting a conversation. So, David, maybe just up your way, you know, whether it's your 16A rugby team that you coach, but you know, what do you see as you host these conversations and structure these environments for our boys to sort of grow up into and absorb these values? How do they enter the conversation? What contributions are they making? What do you see them picking up on and thriving on and making a real difference?
Yeah, I think, like Wilbur just spoke about, he's created an environment there where he's fostering ownership and agency, and some of his prefect team might not be fully aware of it yet, but as they finish year 12 and graduate, they'll become more aware of the journey they've been on in that prefect team. So I think it's self-awareness.
Yep.
And there is that balance between being explicit and implicit in this space. And I think that by doing this more explicitly, there's a self-awareness that we're not playing sport to win. We're not doing cadets to win. I'm not at the King's School or at Xavier necessarily just to get the best uni rank. Awesome. I'm actually here to be a better person. And my family have made an investment in me to be at this fantastic institution that I've been given an opportunity to. For me, it's King's School, or for you, it's Xavier. And then how do I be a better person to contribute to a flourishing society? So to answer your question, I think it's they're becoming more aware of that component of their journey.
I think a framework and practice are two really important things in the idea of development of the art of conversation. And we are so lucky in our school as a Jesuit school because we have a significant and amazing framework in terms of Ignatian conversations and how to actually structure them in a way that helps you to be a better listener, which I think is one of the most important parts, and something that I think certainly for myself and all of us, it's something we've got to continue to get better at. And I would always be the first person to put my hand up for that. And so then I think practice. And I think actually with young people, with our own children, and particularly with our students, because when we're doing it with the students, it's a really tangible way that we can help the boys grow in a way that at times may be more difficult for their parents. Father Chris Middleton, who's one of the kings in this area, pardon the pun, talks about having the conversation in the car and the idea that you don't have to look at your child respectfully to have that conversation because it may better engage them. And I think as hard as it can be at times and as much as it can be a challenge for the students or for the young people to continue to practice that art of conversation is something that it's that idea of it being explicit. And in our school, one of the things we talk about is our school captain a few years ago said, I don't expect to have all the answers when I leave Xavier, but I do expect to know what are the right questions to go and ask. The only way that they can know what are the right questions to ask is to be able to ask us questions along the way here at the school. And that can be a challenge. As a teacher, to be questioned can be a challenge. It's a challenge for all humans. And so if our focus is on developing how they ask the question, so how they host the conversation, then absolutely I think we're preparing young people.
I think, Bill, too, you spoke about what the role of the student is in this, and we need to help them understand that they don't always have to be successful. And it's up to us as mentors and coaches and teachers to create those environments where they might fail. And that self-awareness I keep speaking about, for them to know that failure is okay. And it's up to us to create environments to coach them and mentor them and support them in that reflection and growth from those failures.
Yeah, that's sort of picking up something I was going to ask Wilbur about your 41 post-it notes. How would you, approach, say, there might be a couple of guys that you feel aren't really picking up on those values that we all agreed on? How would you, and David, your approach to that as well, if you weren't getting maybe the buy-in that theoretically you might have hoped?
Yeah, it's interesting, Heels, because a aspect of having such a large group of leaders is some might hang back and not get involved as much. And I think that's not really the case this year. Like, there's been some instances where perhaps someone's not pulling their weight a bit. But Mr. Eilert said to me at the start of the year that he thinks this group of prefects is one of action, sort of rolls their sleeves up and looking to get things done, which I think has worked well. But in times where, yeah, someone's sort of not really pulling their weight, I think it's just a quiet conversation or a steering of someone's outlook on a situation. Maybe it's just a simple suggestion. How about you come with me? We'll get involved in this. Can come help lead in a different context to one that you might be required to lead in. Perhaps give them a different opportunity to show their leadership skills. I think that's worked well. And we've got so many different contexts within this one big context of Xavier College that we can lead, whether it's in the Red and Black Army, whether it's in the music department, whether it's in sport. Like, there's so many different ways that we can lead, and just finding which one resonates with someone, even though they may be sort of locked in this portfolio, they may be a prefect in general, they may just be sort of an unnamed leader, a house vice president or something like that. But yeah, just finding the context which resonates with them.
That's a great answer. David Michael, would you, David first, would you add to that?
Yeah, I just think I've sort of started to come back with what Will was saying there and thinking about how we help those young men understand where they're at. And that comes back to this idea of this assessing it. So how do your prefects know where they're sitting on their leadership journey and their character? And it made me think of this idea that we value what we measure. And at the moment, if we're not measuring character and flourishing and contributions to society, how do we value it? So I think we need to start measuring it, and therefore we can, as a group, we talked about the Australian Character Education Alliance. As a group, I think that alliance of schools that, you know, Michael and I and a few people put together can actually have a voice in the national debate about why character is important, possibly how we're currently assessing effective education. What's effective schooling? And at the moment, our only measure is a uni rank and a uni mark. And so if we value this, we need to measure it. And I wonder, I wonder if there needs to be some sort of rating system instead, ratings of schools, of how well we create environments, how well we grow character, how well we challenge students and give them opportunities to be challenged in this space.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Michael, would you add to that?
I think a lot of my day is spent working with people, as much with students as it is with adults. And just listening to Dave, one of the things that came into my mind is I think often human nature can be that we judge ourselves by two outcomes. Geez, I did that really well, or geez, I did that really badly. And so I think in listening to Dave and how it can help the students, if there's a continuum of how I've held that conversation or what my character is like, I absolutely can see that allows humans, and in this case young boys, to continue to reflect on where they're at rather than just automatically go to two extremes, of which often neither of them are actually right.
Yeah, okay.
And can I add to that quickly, Michael? Sorry. Part of that continuum, it's not failure and success.
No.
It's not us fail. And you can be early in that continuum, but it's just the start of a growth. And that's part of this whole process, is saying, okay, you might be sitting at this part of that continuum, but that's just where you are at the moment, and you're starting that journey in that space.
We're about to go around the ground. And Wilbo, you'll have some help from Michael today because it's exam time, not happening big outside, but inside a lot happening.
Yeah, I'll start off with last Friday, Heels. We had Ned Bramwell's voluntary mass, which was outstanding.
Magnificent.
Yeah, for those that were in the room, it was just a really raw and honest reflection on his life, and one of those sort of things that we do really well at Xavier in building character and building shared values. I think it really resonates with this topic. But moving on to this week, we had all the students and staff had a great rest over the King's birthday long weekend, so that was great. And then now we're in exam period, so a quieter but more studious week at the college. We've got 9s to 11s sitting their mid-year exams, and year 12 have had a big milestone in their academics this week. Last night we had an English sack, so another whole cohort sack. And yeah, we're moving into a big week next week in personal development, which Mr. Arlett has a role in overseeing with the year 9s and 10s, so if he could dive into that.
Yeah, before I take any credit, I'm very lucky to be able to support people like Katie White and Tom Burns and our heads of house who are doing a magnificent job with next week. Obviously, on Tuesday, we've got a big day. We've got a pause in the exams, and we have the GAT for year 12. And I did want to mention that because I know our listeners out there, many of them are parents, and I think it's a really important milestone for our Year 12 students. It's not something the boys can necessarily prepare for, but really important that the students go into the GAT and put in their very best effort. We've seen situations here at our school where, you know, cold and flu comes through in the VCE, 20-odd boys who may have had a cold and flu at one stage, and so the GAT can become really important when you get to the VCE. So just a quick plug for that. And then most of our Year 11s are involved in that as well, given they're accelerating, which is wonderful. For our Year 9 boys, next Tuesday we have our personal formation day, just an extension of our in-class personal formation curriculum. Next week, the boys, Year 9 boys, are going to be at Burke Hall, and Katie White, our head of students, is leading that. And their focus is on drug and alcohol awareness. There's a focus on young people and the law. And so we've actually got Eve Begnall, who works with us here at the school, coming in to speak to the boys. She's done a brilliant job at developing some resources for the boys around understanding the law as teenagers as well.
Yeah, great.
For Year 10, we have our Year 10 colloquium. Colloquium is a very Jesuit word for the art of conversation, obviously something very topical to today's podcast. And so our Year 10 students are working with their heads of house and their tutor specifically. And an incredibly important part of that day is that we stop for part of the day and our three or four boys in the tutor group just engage in specific conversation with their tutor. So I can understand the ratio of one teacher on three or one teacher on four is something to think about in terms of that day. But it says something when we are explicitly saying to 16-year-old boys, it is that important for us to stop so that you can have and progress in the art of conversation. I think it says a lot about what we're thinking and what we're doing around character. It's something that's been around here at the school for a while, so it's not a new initiative, but Wilbur, even his face lit up when I mentioned it this morning as a really impactful day for you, Wilbur, last year.
Yeah, it's one of those retreat days that leads into your senior years, and I think it foreshadows a lot what you can do in Year 11 and 12 in terms of retreats and stuff like that and better understanding yourself and what's around you. I think part of that day from memory is you write down values of who you want to be and what you're sort of setting up for yourself. So, yeah, I personally love the day. We were in Brunswick and it was a great space for Bellarmine, my house, to engage outside of the school grounds. And, yeah, it's also great for just building that house camaraderie and mateship, so yeah.
I've got the great Michael Trappett scowling at me, which means we've gone a bit over time. So, look, we could have gone for another hour, but Michael, please thank our special guest, as I thank you. It's always great having you too on Zav Chat.
Thanks, Shane. Again, appreciate being on. But yeah, David, thank you for your time with us this morning, for beaming in from Sydney, and certainly keen to maybe hear from you again at stages, but also wish you the best with the work that you're doing in this massively emerging space.
Great. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Great. In your opening comment, Dave, I will say it led me to be reminded of a leadership dinner we had a few weeks ago where a college captain 25 years out made a number of great remarks on a wonderful evening, but he challenged the collective audience that when you come to King's or you come to Xavier College, normal is not enough. And I reflect there on these things that we're structuring and opening up, these values and character, educational traits and opportunities for our young men, getting them to stop, to make decisions under pressure, be thoughtful, be self-aware, etc. I thought it, again, resonated for me that here we don't do normal and it's not enough. And I'm really appreciative for yourself and Michael and the work that you're doing in this space. The Alliance is interesting and the PhD, really looking forward to seeing how it goes. So, David, thanks again.
Thanks, Bill. Hopefully it's in person next time we catch up.
That'd be great. Fantastic, David. Good luck moving forward. Wilbur, thank you.
We're talking
to some coaches next week. It'll be really fascinating from not just the sporting area. So, anyway, that's a week away, but I would encourage everyone, tell your friends about Zav Chat. You can find us on Spotify. Wilbur, Michael, Bill, thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
And we'll see you 7 days hence.